Hello and welcome to Bat Flips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I am your host this week, John McGee. And joining me to talk about the first week of MLB action is Darius Austin. How are you, Darius?
I'm doing very well, thanks, John. I have finally worked out how microphones work, so I hopefully sound a little bit better than we did in our attempt on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to ask how things go on Sunday, and are you glad that I sent you a text to clear up all the mess that you were making all over the place?
Yeah, it saved us sort of recording an hour of unlistenable audio. I think we got 35 minutes or so in the end. But the perils of live podcasting, it was our first time really, so I'm sure we'll learn from this valuable experience.
Yeah, and to make up for the fact that much of that audio was unlistenable, we are joined by our second guest this evening, making, I believe, his first appearance on the podcast proper. He was on our Phillies preview podcast last year. It's the brains behind the Baseball by Committee meetups and also the chair of the UK Phillies fan club, Dave Shaw. How are you, Dave?
I'm very good. Very good. Thank you for having me on.
Excellent. So as I was just explaining to the guys, we're going to talk all about the opening week and opening weekend of MLB in a moment, and indeed what happened here in the UK to celebrate that opening weekend, both in London and in Leeds. But first, another opening weekend, and that's the opening weekend for the National Baseball League and AAA competitions for the British Baseball Federation. Those are taking place this weekend, the 7th and 8th of April, in Hemel Hempstead and at Farnham Park. I had an opportunity earlier on today to talk to the BBF president, Jerry Perez, about what's going to happen this weekend and their plans for the next year, fingers crossed, if MLB does come to London. So I'm delighted to be joined by Jerry Perez, the president of the British Baseball Federation, ahead of this weekend's opening weekend in the National Baseball League. How are you doing, Jerry?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me on Batflips and Nerds, and looking forward to tonight's call.
It's an absolute pleasure. So tell us all about this weekend. What have you got going on? I understand you've got some events at Farnham Park and some events in Hemel Hempstead, and it's going to be something for everyone by the looks of it.
Yeah, this is the opening of our opening season for 2018. We have a full slate of scheduled events starting on Saturday the 7th. We're going to be over at Hertz Baseball Grounds, the Grove Park, Hemel Hempstead. We're going to have GB tryouts for under 12s. In addition, we're going to be hosting Justin Stone, which 2-3 weeks ago was with the Chicago Cubs in spring training. He's coming over to instruct our coaches on the fundamentals, the skill sets, in order to improve our athletes to play the game a little bit better. He's going to be there from 9:30 to 13:30. In addition, we're going to have a youth clinic in the afternoon for 13 to 17-year-olds. And in addition, we're going to also have a hog roast. The BBF is going to be sponsoring this. This is in order to provide the proceeds over to GB Baseball. As this summer, they're going to have four teams compete in the European Championships. So that's for Saturday. On Sunday, we have the start of our National Baseball League with Southampton Mustangs versus the London Mets, the reigning national champions. And we have the AAA start of the season with the London Mammoths versus the Richmond Knights. In addition, we're going to have a mix and match where youth from the ages of 9 all the way until 13 will mix them with coaches from around the country. It's a great way for the kids to make new friends, for the parents as well to network, see what other opportunities there are in any of the other 33 clubs. In addition, we're going to have the under-12s tryouts for the GB national teams. And Justin Stone will be on hand as well in order to give instruction to all the kids from ages 9 to 16 and beyond.
Sounds like it's going to be an awesome event, and a shame that we can't get along. We'll have to try and make it either to All-Star Weekend or the closing weekend of the season for your playoffs. But for those who maybe aren't aware of baseball in the UK, Jerry, can you just tell them a little bit about the BBF and the NBL and what sort of standard you can come along and watch if you're in the vicinity of one of your clubs?
Sure. The British Baseball Federation is the national governing body of baseball in the United Kingdom. We receive no public funding. We're basically made up of a community of member clubs. There's 33 in the 2018 season. If I just look at the BBF by the numbers, we have one national team program called GB Baseball that represents teams, the age group of under 12s, under 15, under 18, as well as under 23 and seniors, which competed internationally, World Baseball Classic, and again in the European Championships this summer. We have a Youth Super League that extends from four divisions, and those range from 9 all the way up until 17. We have four adult leagues, starting with our marquee league, which is the National Baseball League. We have AAA, AA, and Single-A. These are 33 clubs, 48 teams that compete from April all the way until August. And then we have our postseasons at the end of August for AA, Single-A, and then our championships for AAA as well as the NBL. Overall, how do we participate? There's over 100 teams taking place with respect to our youth programs that play throughout the season. There's over 300 organized youth games, and there's over 1,000 organized senior games that are played throughout the season. There's approximately about 1,500 active participants in the BBF. And, you know, our main mission here is to advance the opportunities for our members as we see them the key to develop the sport and to extend the reach.
Brilliant. And if somebody wants to get involved, who hears this this chat with you this evening, where would they go? Where would be the first place that you would point them to find their local club?
They're more than welcome to contact the British Baseball Federation. We have an email called info@britishbaseball.org. You'll see us periodically on Twitter, social media. You'll also could contact us through our website. There you can find an overview of all 33 clubs and opportunities that these clubs use in order to extend the reach of the game, as well as into their community. We've got 33 clubs that are very diversified in what they offer the community. They have a lot of history, a lot of heritage, and a lot of skilled people that run the clubs in order to facilitate baseball for youth, people that have been skilled as well as beginners. So please reach out to us. We'll love to put you in contact geographically with the club or team that's in your area, and we're there to assist you along the way.
That's brilliant. So obviously there's been some speculation reports coming out over the last couple of weeks that there could be some MLB games coming to London in 2019. I imagine that that's something that you and your colleagues in the BBF are pretty excited about. Big opportunity for you guys to take advantage of. So is there anything in the pipeline, should that be greenlit in the next couple of weeks, for you guys over the next, say, 12 months or so, to get more people involved in the BBF, get more people down to your games, and bring some excitement to the game of baseball in the UK in the intervening period?
Well, you know, all reports tend to lead that there's going to be activity next summer with Major League Baseball in the United Kingdom, which we're very excited about. This is going to be a great opportunity for the sport. It's also going to be a great opportunity for the 33 clubs, as well as the other clubs that are extended externally out of the BBF. We believe, you know, London is the place where we're going to be able to showcase the best part of Europe's extent into the likes of baseball. We're also going to reach out to the other NGBs from other European countries. We're a member of the World Baseball Softball Confederation. We have very good ties with our peers across the continent. We're going to invite them. We're going to try to do whatever we can to encourage the growth of baseball in this country. What it's going to do for the local community, for all our clubs, there's going to be definitely an interest where the next generation is going to want to learn about the sport, how to play. We'll be working with our clubs up until June of next year in order for them to prepare. The other part is, you know, we don't receive any public funding. So, you know, our aim here is to basically work on getting donations, get investment from the business community, which we have good ties in the city as well as other areas. And I'll give you a first, you know, an exclusive. Tonight, in order to move forward, last year we guaranteed that we were going to raise £10,000 to put into activities that we just announced at the beginning of the show that are all free to the public. We're going to guarantee to raise 15,000 sterling for next year in order to host more activity for our clubs and for the public. This will be in either youth games. These will either be in tournaments. These will be an instruction for our officials as well as our coaches and our players. And more importantly, it basically minimizes the financial impact on anyone that wants to play the game. So that would be £25,000 that we'll guarantee to raise. And a lot of it is going to be because Major League Baseball is coming to this country. There will be a lot of opportunity for us. Our clubs have really been coming together over the last 18 months. And because of them, we're going to go out there and basically express what the British Baseball Federation is about. And we're definitely sure that we're going to get that investment.
That sounds really exciting. It's maybe something that we can talk to you again further down the line, Jerry, as and when we know more from you and you know more yourself. And we can talk to you maybe as and when some of these events that you've hopefully got in the pipeline are going to come to fruition. In the meantime, can you just remind people again what it is that they can do this Saturday and this Sunday and where they can go to find out more?
Great. So this Saturday, we're going to be again at Hertz Baseball Club's home field. That's Hemel Hempstead. You could see that information on social media for our Twitter handle, British Baseball. It's at Grover Hill Park, Hemel Hempstead. Postal code is 6LHPT. Then we're going to be at our national fields, Farnham Park in Slough, SLT2-3BP. All the activities start approximately around 9:30 for both days, and they'll probably go until 5 o'clock. We welcome everyone. It's free to the public. It's free to the fans. Great opportunity to watch baseball in action, British style. And in addition, to see the next generation of baseball players, as well as the current epitome of baseball in this country.
Fantastic.
And for us, you know, we'd like to extend a really gratitude to your organization. You'd have done a great job to promote the sports. And we definitely are looking forward to working with you, because organizations like you spread the word about baseball in this country and abroad. And it's a gateway to the outside world. So definitely you'll hear more about us, and we're looking to cooperate.
Fantastic. Really looking forward to it, Jerry. And you're making me blush here at the end of the call, so thanks for that. So thanks very much to Jerry for that interview. I hope that you, like me, learned a lot about GB baseball. Just one thing, Jerry asked me to clarify after we finished speaking. The GB trials on Saturday will be for the under 15s and under 18s teams. And on Sunday, they're for the under 12s teams. He's got a bit of a cold, and so he repeated himself there. So Saturday at Hemel Hempstead, if you're under 15 or under 18, Sunday at Farnham Park if you're under 12s. But Justin Stone, the Cubs hitting instructor, will be at both events. So it sounds like it's something that's going to be well worth going along to. So from NBL back to MLB, I've got too many acronyms going on in my head already. And I'm sure there's going to be more throughout the course of this podcast. We're talking about the near future, but let's turn to the near past and talk about the meetup since we've got Dave here. So Dave, you guys went big for opening weekend. I believe there are about 70 people in London, around 40 people at the event in Leeds, run by Sandy Shipley. How was the head on Monday morning? First things first.
Sore head, and my voice has just recovered.
Brilliant. So we got to you just in time then. And Darius, I hear that you were literally being swept out of the door by one of the bar staff. So you must have had a pretty sorry demeanor on Monday morning too.
Yeah, myself and Ben were forcibly removed. I think the free drinks tokens were a little too much temptation for some people. I was actually okay, but I know certain people were partaking of those quite heavily. So I'm not sure how the members of the party fared, but I was moderately sensible, I would say. I think doing the podcast probably helped me to not start on them too early.
So Dave, were there free drinks tokens left over at the end? Is that what I'm hearing here?
I you know what, I think there was a couple left over, and that's after we cleared the bar tab of plenty of free pictures at the end as well.
So you didn't save it for next time. Oh well, I won't make the trip then. It doesn't sound like it's going to be worth it. So moving away from inebriation and to the rest of the revels and the events, how How did it go for you? I know that you yourself and Adam and George and Hannah, who had put a lot of time and effort into making this happen. Yeah. How did you think it went, and what's the feedback been from people in the time since Sunday?
We were blown away by the numbers, actually, to be honest with you. We were planning to go proper at 6, but by 5 o'clock, 5:15, the room was getting really full already. We thought, whoa, hold on a minute. This is already building up to be really big. The feedback was phenomenal, actually. Again, we were just completely blown away. It was a great atmosphere in there as well. I think the free drinks helped. And the Topps playing cards was a great touch as well. But the atmosphere was great. We managed to get 3 different games on. And you had various cheers going on around the room from the crowds watching the games. And the Blue Jays Grand Slam, you had a big roar go up in the corner from one end. And then at the bottom of the ninth for the Rays Red Sox game, which got really interesting, the whole room was glued to that screen. And I think everybody bar the Red Sox fans were praying for a Rays walk-off. And it nearly happened. But the atmosphere was fantastic. Everybody got along. It was a huge success. Better than we even thought it would even go.
It's fantastic. And Darius, obviously, you were there until the bitter end watching women's college basketball, so I hear. That sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. What were your impressions of the event, having been to, you were there at Battlegrounds and so on?
Yeah, I thought it was terrific. I mean, everybody really got into it. It was a great atmosphere. It wasn't really any, nervousness or anything. Everybody was just, I think, delighted that there was a large group of people who actually wanted to watch and talk about baseball in the same place. So saw quite a few people that we met at Battlegrounds last summer come down again. That was really good to see. I had a good chat to people like Dave and George. We met Steve Klein of Bush League Ramble. I had a great chat to him as well. So meeting a lot of people who we've interacted with on the internet, and that was a really good aspect of it for me. And just a really terrific atmosphere. It was really loud and raucous the whole time, as Dave said, and I think it bodes really well for the future events, because it seems like there's a lot of appetite for it. And there were even some Americans in the room. I think somebody had found a Cardinals fan just randomly, and he was over from the States, and they just brought him along.
Yeah, I only heard about this after the event. I couldn't believe I missed him. But there was a couple of guys from California down there, and some expats from New Jersey who were diehard Yankee fans, but they knew their stuff. They were proper Yankee fans, And it was great. It was great to get their perspective on the event as well, and how baseball is growing in this country. And they were really impressed with the event as well. And they'll be coming back and telling their friends, telling their other expat friends, which there's plenty of in London. And that's the best way to grow the numbers. Word of mouth. It's great to have Liam Carroll down there as well. He was a fantastic guest.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He can talk the hind legs off a cow, can Liam?
He can, so. Yeah, he can. He was happy to talk to everybody. He's got some great stories, some great ideas as well. He's a very, very passionate man about baseball, and British baseball in particular. It was really good to hear.
Brilliant. So before we move on to the future, I wanted to give you an opportunity, Darius, to make a public apology for the state of your attempt at a live broadcast. Do you want to take that opportunity and apologise to the people of Great Britain?
I would like to apologise to the people of Great Britain and to Tom and Ben. We thought everything was working. I could hear the sound through my headphones, but it seemed that Ben's computer just hadn't recognised the mic, which I think now is just because the cable might have been a little bit tangled up, to be honest. It seems rather temperamental, which I didn't know until Sunday, and it was all a bit chaotic and loud. So it was, something that I think we probably would have liked to test a bit more in advance, but it was just sort of, we were there having a chat, and then Tom was like, oh, we better do this podcast, didn't we? So we sort of sat down and thought everything was working.
It was all Tom's fault.
It was a bit trial by error, wasn't it? It was so loud in there. I was struggling to hear you guys myself. So I didn't.
Yeah, it was difficult, but it was my fault. I won't palm it off on Tom. I should have checked that Ben's computer was picking it up. So actually, what we were doing was just recording off Ben's laptop microphone, which, as you can imagine, in a room of 70 people, with 3 baseball games on, was not all that good an idea.
No, so. It sounds like it's pretty poor. And Dave, I admire you coming on sort of first timer, being kind, being generous, but you must have listened to enough of these podcasts to know that everything is Tom's fault. So we'll just park that there. So moving on from everything being Tom's fault to what's going to happen. That's all your fault, Dave, I guess. What's going to happen next? So we've got three events this weekend, one in Birmingham on Saturday, which Tom and I are going to be attending. Manchester on Sunday, which I'm doing very little to organise and taking an awful lot of the credit. So Andy from Gridiron Gravy is doing all the heavy lifting on that. And then your Phillies event, which is also on Sunday as well at Passyunk Avenue, which is the new Philly.
I wasn't going to selflessly plug that, but yeah.
So there's plenty to be getting on with already.
Also there's Aberdeen as well on the Saturday.
Of course, sorry. Yeah. So Aberdeen as well. So there's events happening all the time. And when's the next one going to be in London?
We've been talking non-stop since the event. It's looking like the bank holiday end of May. We want it to be sooner, but Hannah's away in the first week of May, then George is away, then I'm away, or the other way around. So not that it gives us more time, because we want to make these events bigger and bigger every time, and they do, as we found out with this one, take quite a while to organize and to get into place. So it being a bank holiday as well, it makes it easy for people to commute to and from London and stay over if they wanted to, and gives us a chance to get some guests in and some more enticements to come down that we're working on at the moment.
Great, that sounds pretty exciting. So I heard you mention it briefly in passing in the sort of listenable part of the interview that you did with the guys on Sunday. Sorry, I'm not going to labour this point. I feel I'm already being too mean. you've obviously had a positive working relationship with the guys in the MLB office for this. They gave you some money and some free booze and some other bits and bobs, but you said that you're talking with them about what you can do more in future. Have you got anything else that you can say now?
Certainly for the next event, we'll be looking at everyone who turns up will be given a discount code for the MLB Europe store. We nearly had that for these events coming up, but the logistics of it just couldn't get out in time. With it being Easter and the guys out at the office, it was nearly in place, but we thought, no, we'll leave it for the next event. We'll have the Topps cards as well. We've got plenty left over from the first event. Topps gave us, I think, these $600 worth of cards that turned up on Hannah's doorstep. So that was a massive shock, but that was great of them. And then down the line, we would love to do some live Skypes, Q&As or FaceTimes with some players or some coaches and some announcers out there. The Seattle Mariners commentators did a fantastic short video for the guys at the event in Leeds, and that's the sort of stuff we're trying to aim more towards as well.
Well, there's a few ex-MLB guys who are going to be playing in Europe this year, so maybe we can have a think and maybe see who we can reach out to. So a couple of ex-Blue Jays. I read today that Chris Colabello is maybe going to be playing in Italy this year, which would be pretty big news, because obviously he was in their starting lineup pretty recently.
He'd be great to have over.
Yeah, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. Well, not that Chris Colabello doesn't fall out of the professional game, because that would be awful for him. But if he comes to Italy, then good for us.
Absolutely.
So plenty more to keep an eye out for. So we'll watch this space. So put that bank holiday end of May in your diaries, everybody, right at this point. Get your hotels booked for London. Have a nice weekend away. Tell your girlfriend, boyfriend, or significant other that it's for family time.
Going
to the dungeon or
bring
something
them.
Like that.
Bring them. Get them into the sport. We want to try and bring new people into the sport. And these events would be fantastic to watch some baseball, get a few of the atmosphere, the fan base. You know, it's not male orientated. It's not for a certain age group. It is literally for families, for everybody. So it's great. If you've got a friend who might be interested, then yeah, absolutely bring them down.
Brilliant. That's a really, I agree. It's a really great attitude. I try really hard to get everyone to get into baseball. I've been literally bursting to talk to somebody about Shohei Ohtani all day. And luckily, I had you guys on the line this evening. And my girlfriend's not even here, because she would have got it anyway. And she just, bless her, she tries her best to tolerate it. But that's about all she can offer. That's a really positive way to get into the show today, to hear about what was a fantastic weekend, British fans coming together, and it sounds like the ambitions is for it to be bigger. And as you say, Dave, I think word of mouth is the key, right? Let's get 150 people to the next one.
Word of mouth is huge, but we're trying hard to get into a small piece of the main limelight and the big media. We're talking BBC, we're talking a small piece in the newspapers, we're talking just Talk Sport, something like that, that we can just get a small piece of and get the word out there and try and make it snowball from there. But it's just getting there. So if anyone has any contacts in the media, then please let us know at Baseball by Community Committee.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll do that at the wrap up. But if people want to find you online, it's all Baseball by Committee, isn't it? So that's your Twitter handle. Yeah. That's your Facebook group as well. And we can give that a shout out at the end.
I jumped the gun. Sorry.
No, man. We can talk about. You just say it as many times as possible so that people remember it. It's a bit like it was her emails. It's the MLB Twitter account, and it was fake news. All those things just stick in people's heads because they get repeated over and over again. Darius is laughing and he knows why. I know why. Anyway, so let's move on to, well, not that watching baseball isn't proper baseball, but hey, I guess let's move on to proper baseball. So we've got 5 or 6 out of 162 in the books for most teams, depending on where you are and whether it's snowed. So there's already, I guess, some interesting early trends to discuss. Let's say they're small sample sizes and dismiss them if we want, but there's some interesting outliers, both good and bad, and some really interesting things to talk about from the point of view as whether this is the real thing or whether it's just randomness. But before we get on to some of the people and some of the teams that maybe have had a surprise start to the season for good or for bad, I wanted to ask you about both your team. So, Darius, it's a panic on the streets of LA. Yes, it could have been a worse start for the Giants. It's 3-3, but without Joe Panic, could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point, wasn't there, over the weekend where I think we'd scored literally 2 runs and conceded about 20, and somehow we were 2-2, thanks to those 2 1-0 victories from Joe Panic home runs of all people. So, yeah, the offense was not looking that good. They really teed off on Felix Hernandez last night, which is a bit sad if you were hoping for a Felix bounce back. It doesn't really look like it's coming. But it was a bit more promising from the lineup standpoint. And I think guys like Longoria and McCutcheon have yet to get going. So I think they'll come around a bit, and the Dodgers are looking maybe a little bit more vulnerable than we thought. So that's somewhat encouraging, I guess. But on the flip side, the Diamondbacks are looking great. So we'll see how we go. It's very early. I haven't really changed too many opinions about the team other than the fact that now Bumgarner's hurt and Samardzija is hurt. I'm not quite so pleased about the rotation as I was, but I think those new signings are going to come good and make the offense better than it was last year. And hopefully we'll start scoring a few more runs than we have in most of the first few games.
Right. And Dave, panic on the streets of Philly? Question mark. It's been a rough start and some weird and wonderful stuff from wacky Gabe Kapler, who I think is going to be a regular feature on our pod this year. So it's been a bit of a strange one for you guys so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, the fact that he was booed when he was introduced today to the home crowd in the home opener, I think, says it all. It's been a torrid, torrid week. So much hope and expectation before the year started. And then it, in a week, for some fans, we've been writing it off already, which I just think is crazy. It slowly got better. I thought, yes.
Well, 22 pitches in three games, including a position player. It was hardly going to get worse.
It wasn't worse, yeah. And then calling a guy from the bullpen who's not even ready, who's still sat down. Man, it was ugly. But I thought yesterday we took Syndergaard out after 5 innings, and I really thought, well, that was the way to go, get into the Mets bullpen. Mm. And then the bats continued to freeze, and we're having a real problem offensively. The bullpen seems to have settled down, actually, and so is the pitching, but the bats have now cooled off. You know, apart from Hoskins, who started really well, there's just been nothing to back him up. Hoskins could have had a few RBIs already this year if he can get runners on base, but it's early, early days. I'm not writing this team off yet. It's a young team. It's quite a raw team as well. The road, Arrieta makes his debut on Sunday, which way he's going in spring. I don't know. I think it'll take him a while to get going, but it's early days. I'm not too worried yet.
Right. Well, we'll hold you to that. We'll speak to you later in the season when it's 4-45.
We've got the Marlins, the Reds, and the Rays in the next few series. That's very bounce backable.
Oh, absolutely. Series. Yeah, you won't be saying that when Bartolo Colon claimed on waivers from the Texas Rangers as your best pitcher in 3 months' time. more on that absolute outrage in a moment. But those formalities addressed to do with our own teams. We're going to talk about my team, how many teams? I support all the teams in a minute. Let's get on board the hype train. We all know it's coming. Shohei Ohtani, Darius, greatest player in baseball history. Yes or no?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much set now, isn't it? A couple of home runs and a decent start, and he's pretty much Babe Ruth. I think what you can't deny is obviously that the power is playing. He's already produced more at the plate than most pitchers are going to produce this season. So I think the guys saying he isn't going to hit at all have been silenced, really. You don't go around. I mean, Josh Tomlin is one thing, but you don't go around hitting home runs off Corey Kluber. And I think one of his hits has been 112 miles per hour off the bat as well. And you can't really fake that kind of thing. So I think he's answered a few questions there. I still think he's going to strike out a fair amount, but I think with the kind of power he's got, you can probably tolerate that. So very exciting to see that. And we watched the start on Sunday at the event, and the stuff looks incredible. He missed his spots quite a few times, but I mean, he was touching 100 with the fastball. The split finger looks great. So I think he's going to be really difficult for teams to face when he's on. And I think he's probably going to give up a few homers and maybe have a starts with a few walks. But I also think he's going to have a gem or two this year because the stuff looks incredible. So it's really exciting. And it was lovely to see the home run as well. I thought that was the best way to tackle the silent treatment that I've ever seen. Basically just giving a teammate a cuddle until they all decided to congratulate him, which was wonderful. And Mike Trout encouraging him to go back out and take the curtain call. Yeah, it seems like it's going great for him, and I'm delighted. So hopefully this continues. It's a lot of fun to see. And I'm hoping that we get a full season of Ohtani doing well on both sides of the ball, really.
Yeah, me too. But David, I don't know, do you want to play devil's advocate and pour cold water on it, or do you just want to cheer as well?
No, I really like Shohei Ohtani. I think he's great for the game as well. I think he's good for baseball. He's exciting. He seems to give the Angels a good lift as well. You know, they're 5-2 at the moment. I think that division, I think Astros are probably going to run away with it, but I think the Angels are going to be there or thereabouts certainly this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think we were pretty high on the Angels in our season preview. So let's see if we're oracles or not come the end of the season. So yeah, Ohtani, I think the consensus here is that he is the greatest player in baseball history, at least this week. Come back and check next week when he's 0-12 and has been racked up for 7 off in a 2-inning start. But anyway, how about a team who we were not high on when we did our season previews, but seemingly have had a pretty good start? The Pittsburgh Pirates. Darius, what the hell? 4-1, awesome pitching. Look like they've got some production on the position playing side as well. Are they real, or is this just early season bounce?
I mean, there are players that I like on the Pirates. Jameson Taillon, I've been a fan of for a while. He had a very difficult season last year, overcoming cancer, and so I think if he's healthy, he's got some really nice stuff, and I think he could be a good piece in that rotation. And they've got handy role player types. Josh Harrison is a lot of fun, and he can be a above average player, but overall I think this is just early season mirage. I think they'll end up in the 70s in wins probably. I don't see a huge amount of depth here, really. Once you get past the Starling Martes of the world, I think this team thins out relatively quickly. And I think, you know, that they're not really going to go out and make the big trade or, take on a lot of money for somebody if they are doing okay mid-season either. So ultimately in that division with the Cubs, with the Brewers and even the Cards, who are always kind of there or thereabouts, I think it's a really tough one for them to compete in. So as fun as it would be to see the Pirates do well, I think it's more of a mirage than anything.
Yeah,
Dave, any disagreement from you?
No, that first series against the Tigers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Both teams looked especially that that game on the 8-6, which went, 15, 16 innings in the walk-off. It never was, but it was car crash baseball, wasn't it? It was. I know I can't talk being a Phillies fan, but that made me feel slightly better. But it's, I don't know, they haven't really been tested yet, have they? What, Twins, Tigers, that's all they've played, isn't it, so far at the moment?
Yeah.
I still think there'll be a 70-win team. No more.
There you go. Well, I can't disagree, but it's fun to see them start well, because as Dario says, they've got some nice players there. Tyone, Cullen Moran is a nice player. It's good to see him getting an everyday job. To a team who we certainly are fans of, or at least Darius is a fan of their pitching rotation, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 5-1, knocking over the Dodgers and riding that awesome pitching rotation. Zach Godley has looked godly. Robbie Ray has done Robbie Ray things and probably made Darius very exciting. Real or not, I think real, this one. Would you agree, Darius?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think anything about this is particularly surprising. It was a very Robbie Ray start, to be honest. He walked a few too many guys. He gave him a couple of home runs and he'd struck out a bunch. Patrick Corbin looked terrific last night against the Dodgers. I don't know that he keeps that up over a full season, but they really only need him to be a 4 or a 5 with the guys they've got ahead of him. And then you look at the lineup with Goldschmidt and Pollock. Jake Lamb's just gone the DL, but they've got plenty of depth there with guys like Chris Owings, who can move around the diamond. Nick Ahmed seems to have taken a step forwards, a guy who was previously only a glove, really, and now he seems to be doing okay offensively. Whether that sticks, who knows, but they've got good pieces all over the team, really. Great base running as well. I think this is probably what we thought the Diamondbacks were. They pushed the Dodgers for a long time last season, and while ultimately I think the Dodgers will probably win the season division again, the Diamondbacks were my choice for the first wild card team in the NL. So I think this is legit, and we can expect to see a lot more going forward.
Great. Dave, any disagreement from you?
No disagreement. I actually have Diamondbacks to push the Dodgers all the way this year. I think the start is good for them as well, especially with the Dodgers struggling at the moment, 2-5. The more games the Diamondbacks can get over the Dodgers, that confidence is going to grow in that team. It's quite a young team as well. Mm. And if they get on an early season roll, which they're doing at the moment, and the Dodgers carry on to struggle, I think the Diamondbacks will grow and grow. And Dodgers may clinch it in the end, but I would not actually be surprised to see Diamondbacks take the NL West. I'm going to go out on a limb and a bold prediction that Diamondbacks would. I had a feeling at the start of the year, and I know it's 6 games, but I think, NL West, Diamondbacks.
Oh, wow. There you go. That is bold. Blimey. We've got you on here to talk about meetups, and you've come on with the hottest of hot cakes.
We should have talked about a bold prediction wall. We should have put that up there at the
moment. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the bold prediction wall that was there on Sunday. There were some absolute horror shows on there. David Wright, MVP. Mm. Someone had a few too many beers, hadn't they? Our friend David Tate.
It was David Wright hit the, I think he was going to DH and hit the walk-off winning homer in the World Series was David Tate's prediction. So he may have had one or two beverages, I would say.
Well, there you go. speaking of people who are playing like they've had one or two beverages, the Texas Rangers are an absolute shit show. Pitching is terrible. Bartolo is already in the rotation and is so far their best pitcher, despite the fact he is awful. Is their fact that they are terrible real or not? Yes, it's real. They are going to be the basement club in the AL West. Does anyone want to disagree with me?
Not in that division. The Astros and the Angels. And I think Seattle will have a decent year as well.
Darius, I know you're a big fan of that rotation.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Mike Minor, he did actually look okay the other day. I was very dubious of their move to stick him back in the rotation. And I'm still dubious of the idea that he might hold up for a full year after basically not being a starter for the last 3. So, we didn't really think all that much of them when we were doing the predictions. I do like pieces of their lineup. I like Nomar Mazara. Obviously, Beltre is great. Jerry Gallo is going to hit a bunch of dingers, but it's so hard to look past that pitching staff. It's sad to say because he's been a great pitcher for a long time, but I think Cole Hamels is not going to get back to well, what they need Cole Hamels to be to really lift this team, I think. And as a fan of the A's as well, I could easily see them finishing last. If we had Ben on, I think he would probably pick them to be in the basement of this division. But it would not surprise me at all to see the Rangers end up there.
There's early murmurings and talk of Hamels returning back to Philly in the trade deadline.
Interesting.
Because Philly's one of the few teams that's not on his block list. And there's murmurings in the Phillies beat writers that they're going to be eyeing a trade for him to come back.
Well, you'll have to be good. You need to sort that side out first. Well, you don't have to be good.
We could do with it with the young pitchers we have.
Yeah, I guess so. I can see that. I see him as a clubhouse or bullpen leader. Lest we forget that the Twins last year, what the hell was going on at the trade deadline with them? Lastly on the team side of things, the Red Sox rotation currently has an ERA under one, and that's without Drew Pomeranz, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Stephen Wright. Is this going to be enough? I'm going to throw this over to you guys. Is this going to be enough to lever them over the Yankees it would be if they keep it up, but is their rotation maybe being underrated by the markets and the talking heads, Darius? What do you think?
It's hard to say that a rotation featuring Chris Sale is underrated, I guess. David Price has always been the kind of question mark for me in this one. I think if you have him and you've got that 1-2 punch and he's back to close to his best, then you feel pretty good, especially for a team that you think is almost certain to be in the playoffs. You feel like that's a great duo to go in with. And I'm certainly a fan of guys at the back end of this rotation, like Rodriguez as well. I think probably we're going to see a bit of regression from some of those guys. I know Hector Velasquez did okay in his start, but I don't think you're going to get too many starts like that from him. And presumably he's going to be the first guy back to the minors when Pomeranz or Rodriguez are healthy. And they have a lot of lefties as well, which is a great thing in Fenway, because the monster really makes it quite difficult for them to pitch. I think a lot of easy outs end up being singles or doubles with the fly balls that head out there. So that makes it tricky, I think, for them to post great ERAs. But when you've got Sale at the top, it's hard to feel too bad, really.
Yeah, so we haven't got Tom here this week, so we haven't got anybody to go into bat for either Hector Velasquez or Brian Johnson. I'm not going to do it. Because they are what they are. They're number six long men and spot starters. Tom would probably argue until he was blue in the face that we were all wrong about that. So yeah, the Red Sox rotation looks good. Someone else who looks good, and we've already mentioned him in passing, Dave, is Rhys Hoskins. A 1.374 OPS with only one home run so far, and some pretty great heads-up base running yesterday to get a run scored for Carlos Martinez.
Yeah, and two stolen bases as well.
Yeah,
which if you've watched him run last year, that was probably his one kink in his armor. But and he's just come across the plate now as well as I speak.
Oh wow!
Not for a home run for his run, but yeah. It's such a shame we can't get guys on base at the moment before him, because he'd be racking in the RBIs already. He just, his confidence is, you see him at the plate and you know he's either going to walk or hit. That's how it's been so far this year. I've got a bet on that he hits more homers than Aaron Judge.
Oh, we've just lost Dave in the midst of waxing lyrical about Rhys Hoskins, which is a shame for us, but maybe for the best for the population of Great Britain who are listening to this podcast. Yeah, I think what he was just going to say was he has a bet that Rhys Hoskins, he's going to hit more home runs than Aaron Judge, which I think, Darius, you will agree with me, is pretty bold.
It is pretty bold. That was on the wall of bold predictions. Not that far towards the top, although I think there was a certain element of people trying to get more bold as they realised we were ranking them. Some people took that as a challenge as opposed to, just trying to make predictions they actually thought were true. But yeah, I mean, Judge certainly strikes out a lot, and Hoskins showed a lot of power, and he's kind of carried over this year. Doesn't seem to have lost a step. So maybe it's not quite as crazy as we thought. Although, with Judge hitting over 50 last year, it's certainly a lofty bar to clear. But Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. And yeah, I think we all expected Judge to be at least a little less good than last year. So maybe it wouldn't be such a huge surprise.
So yeah, Dave, we were just saying there that your Hoskins over Judge home runs bet isn't as crazy as you maybe think it is. We think it has a chance. It has a puncher's chance.
It does. It does. I let's see what happens when the weather starts warming up and the bats start flying. Yeah. I'm still quietly confident.
Although okay.
It is 1-1 now, isn't it? He homered last night, didn't he?
He did. Him and my favourite player, Gary Sanchez, both hit home runs.
It was the triumvirate, wasn't it? Stanton, Judge, Sanchez all did it. Yeah.
Let's talk all about them and not about Didi with his little league home runs over the border. It's the likable Yankees. No one's mentioning that the actual likable player that they've got, Didi Gregorius. But anyway, we're on AL shortstops, AL East shortstops even. So let's stay there. Here's my bold prediction: Xander Bogaerts is going to be a top 10 AL MVP player this year. It's been a hot start: 5 doubles, 1 home run, with around 1,000 OPS. He looks like a different player. Obviously, small sample size, but he was absolutely outrageous in spring training as well. And it's starting to look like the player that people hoped he would be, rather than the rinky-dink singles hitter who was getting 3 times as many home runs hit by Francisco Lindor, who's half his size. So anyone want to talk me down that Xander Bogaerts is not an AL MVP candidate?
Well, I think... with teams certainly like the Red Sox, you do wonder if it's going to be more difficult for him just because they have Mookie Betts. Sometimes these situations where you've got multiple candidates, it makes it more difficult. I think we saw that with the Nationals last year, where they actually had several great players, but nobody really separated themselves from the pack. I think Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado have probably hurt themselves in that regard over the last couple of years as well. But it wouldn't surprise me that the playoff narrative also helps the MVP things. And if Bogaerts can come out and hit over 300 with a bit more power than he showed last year, then I think he'll certainly be a prime candidate on a lot of writers' ballots.
Good. Freddie Freeman, is he going to be getting the plaudits he deserves based on his start to the season? Probably. 1.516 OPS, 277 WRC+. He's really, really good, even in a world where you've got Paul Goldschmidt and Joey Votto crowding out the NL first baseman chat.
Yeah, I watched Freeman against us in the opening series, and our pitchers were afraid to pitch to him. He was constantly walked. And then, of course, they pulled Nola out on opening day when he was in a groove as Freeman came to plate. And Milner came in all 3 games, in fact, they pulled a pitcher out as Freeman came to plate. And Freeman had he always has a good game against us every time we face each other, but he has that presence, you know, just to put fear into pitchers. And our pitchers look visibly, they didn't want to pitch to him. It's either walk or he's gonna hit you. And Darius, I think he'll continue this good year.
Darius, you're a Freeman fan, aren't you? So this is your opportunity to take to the pulpit.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable hitter. I mean, we love Joe Votto a lot, but if you're looking for the guy who's just one step down, I think Freeman's profile is developing that way. It's a ton of line drives. He's got the power to go with it. He's not just out there making a lot of contact and slap hitting the ball. He walks all the time. His approach is just outstanding, and it's a real shame that his season got interrupted last year when he was on an absolute tear. And we've seen him come right out this year and get back at it. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that we can get 150-plus games out of Freeman this year. And I think he's going to be right in the NL MVP conversation if we do.
Yep. He could play for any team as well. I think anybody would have Freeman.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He is absolutely incredible. It's a shame that the team around him probably is still not quite ready. And we've been saying that for what feels like forever now. Let's move from one side of the ball to the other, and let's bring everyone what they're all wanting. Some hot Baltimore Orioles are a dumpster fire content. Of course, the team is 1-5. I am really enjoying keeping a very close eye on them. For those wondering, I have watched 2 full Baltimore Orioles games. I have not watched all of them, but I have watched all of their catch-ups. And my goodness, is Chris Davis a worse defender than I thought? And that I did not think was possible. But let's move swiftly. He made three errors in about 5 minutes the other day. He's just unbelievable. And Mark Trumbo isn't even fit yet, and he's even worse. Anyway, I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about Dylan Bundy, who has had an absolutely unreal start to the season. So I'll just read some numbers out for you. He has a 0.69 ERA, which, of course, is nice. He's a 1.35 FIP, 10.38 Ks per nine, and he's doing all of this with the sort of round average BABIP of 300. He has a 1.35 FIP and a 0.69 ERA with a BABIP of 300 in a terrible team. That is unbelievable. Is he the ace of the future, Darius, do you think?
Well, he was touted as that for a long time, and it's taken an extremely long time for him to get to the point where he could even make a lot of starts. Last year was the first year he'd really been in the major league rotation for a full year, had a lot of injury issues. I've always doubted whether he could really hold up, and he did wear down at times over the second half last year, I thought. So maybe this is it with all that experience now under his belt. He's sort of 25, so he's still very young, despite the fact we've been hearing about him for 7 or 8 years now. He's got time on his side. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a surprise to me if he was an ace at this point. I think last year was kind of more of a maybe like, you know, good number three kind of performance, and that's kind of what I expected out of him. The strikeouts weren't quite there that you would expect from an ace, but this start is incredible. And one of those starts was against the Astros, which is no mean feat. So very promising for the Orioles, and maybe not everything that you watch this year will be miserable after all.
Excellent. Anything to add to that, Dave?
No, I was just going to say, I saw bits of him against the Astros, and I was very impressed, actually. I've not seen much of Bundy, to be honest. Not till the recent hype and talk I've heard about him. So I did watch some of that Astros game, and yeah, he seems to be, well, signs of the real deal, that's for sure, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to say, I mean, I've the two games that I've watched, and I guess it probably hasn't been coincidental, have been the games that he pitched in, and he was really, really pleasing on the eye. He doesn't overpower people. He doesn't throw at 100 miles an hour. He's sort of sitting low 90s, but he's got really great command. He's hitting the corners every time.
He reminds me of Aaron Nola, actually. Very similar pitches.
Yeah, that's an interesting comp. I can see that. So they're both really nice pitchers to watch. So maybe people should have them on their MLB TV shuffle over the course of the year. The last player that I specifically wanted to touch on is the pitcher who at the moment, and obviously this is only two turns through the rotation, has had the highest amount of innings pitched so far, which is 15.2. And it's a surprising source. It's Sean Manaea of the Oakland Athletics, and his numbers over and above his innings pitched, a 1.15 ERA, 2.77 FIP. Now, Manaea is another guy who's been touted as having a pretty high ceiling, maybe a sort of fringy number one, number two guy for quite a while. And another one, Darius, who it's pleasing to see put the pieces together, I guess.
Yeah, Manaea was one of the reasons that I am interested in the A's this year, and I thought they could be a bit better. He's a former first-round pick. He's a huge guy. He's 6'5", 6'6". He looks like the kind of guy you could see, you know, going out and pitching 200-plus quality innings in the bigs. And, it's really great to see him get off to a good start. I think especially with AJ Puck going down, the A's really need Manaea to anchor this rotation and get through a full season. And the start is, ideal, really. And with Matt Chapman over there at third, the best third baseman in the defensive third baseman in the majors, as me and Ben were talking about at the weekend. I think you really like, you know, if you can get a decent amount of ground balls, which he's done so far as a starter as well, in addition to those strikeouts, then I think, you know, you've got at least one guy on the left side of the infield there who can really pick it. So, yeah, I'm really encouraged by Manaea. I certainly have a few shares of him in fantasy, and I'm hoping he can start as can carry on as he started.
How old is he? He's 26, isn't he?
I believe he's 26, yeah.
26, still another youngster, yeah. Yeah, he looks promising. Very, very promising as well.
Excellent. So that's some players maybe to watch out for, to try and pick up on your fantasy wires if you're still in that game, and certainly some to avoid all of the Texas Rangers. But before we bid you adieu this evening, we've got a few listener questions, just a handful this evening, but we'll use them to see us out. The first was from Ben Salvi. I'm not quite sure if Ben's taking the mic a little bit with this question. But I'll put it to you guys anyway. So who's going to hit the most home runs in the NL? Is it going to be Harper, Blackman, or Panic, Darius?
Well, I think two of those choices are probably serious. Joe Panic was on pace for 78 home runs at one point in the last couple of days. But I have bet Tom the princely sum of five English pounds that Bryce Harper is going to hit at least 43 home runs this season. So as much as Charlie Blackman gets the advantage of playing in Coors Field, Bryce is off to a red-hot start. And I think with his big contract looming and the power we know he's got and the juice ball, I think 50 home runs would be no challenge at all for Harper. So I'm going to take him.
Darius, do you think that Harper will be the highest home run hitter this year?
Will be the highest what, sorry?
Home run hitter this year.
I don't know. I mean, if you could trust the health, I think you would still have to take Stanton. I think he's got the best raw power in the game. Both of them have got health concerns. I think I'd probably still take Stanton overall, but it's pretty close. And yeah, as I've bet Tom, it really wouldn't surprise me to see Harper get in the 45, 50, even more range really.
What do you reckon then, Dave? I guess your answer is going to be Rhys Hoskins, right?
Absolutely. You wait now. It'll be Harper. Again, what Darius said, Blackman plays at Coors. Harper has that raw power.
I think
the start he's made as well. He just, like again, Darius said, the big contract year coming up. There's so many teams going to be looking at him. This is his big stage. This is his big one, isn't it? And probably his last chance with the Nationals to win the World Series, isn't it? Nationals?
Quite possibly. It's the Rump Nationals after this. It's Max Scherzer and some guys after this year. I'm gonna go off script, Ben, and I'm gonna say the answer is gonna be Scooter Jeanette, obviously. So the next question is from Alexander Wist. So hello to you. And his question is: can this be the season for Dansby Swanson to get away from the pressure of his rookie season whilst playing in the shadow of Ozzy Albies and the forthcoming phenom Ronald Acuña? Dave, you're an NL East guy. What have you seen of Swanson? He's been pretty toilet so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, even against us, he wasn't great. so I don't know. No, I don't see much of him except when he played us, and I wasn't that impressed.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be difficult for him to turn it around, and I see the point that the question is making there. Maybe it's going to be easy whilst everybody's focusing on Acuña rather than him as the number one pick. But surely, if they're focusing on Acuña, they're going to be comparing him to Acuña, and if he carries on at the same clip that he's been going so far, he's going to look even worse, Darius, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he is, and I think that's part of the problem with Swanson. Really, I think he was highly touted as a prospect. He was drafted very high, and I think he was the number one overall pick, actually, wasn't he? And so I think there's that pressure. I think one of the reasons he was ranked so highly as a prospect is because he was considered fairly safe as opposed to having a high upside. But I think these things often get conflated, and especially so in fantasy circles, where people see a good prospect ranking and think that's going to translate to great offensive production. And actually Swanson's was as much based on his glove, I think, as it was his bat. So maybe it will help him to have someone else on that team. Acuña is, unlike Swanson, the kind of player who is a real franchise guy who could be a 5-6 plus win player if it all comes together. And maybe just having to go back to being, you know, an above average guy, if that was kind of the reset expectation for Swanson, then maybe it would help him. We've talked about a few young guys on this podcast already, and Swanson's younger than all of them. So
he did have two hits last night at the stolen base, but
Yeah, he's had a decent start, and I think, you know, he can hit for a decent batting average given the time, which hopefully the Braves will give him based on their point in the win curve. But I don't think he's going to be the guy that maybe some people thought from where he was ranked on prospect lists. I think he can be a solid above average regular if you can figure it all out, and that's kind of what his ceiling is really.
Great. So the next question was from Mark Blakemore. He wanted us to have a bit of a think about what MLB UK could do to broaden the church and bring in more fans. Now, I think we've addressed that a bit, haven't we? Talking a bit about the meetups, but I don't know if you guys had any other thoughts just off the top of your head. I know it's something that we've talked about quite a few times on this podcast. Maybe you, Dave. Maybe you've got, you're the ideas guy.
I've got several ideas. I think the Facebook shows that on the build up to the Home Run Derby were really good. And it's a shame it all fell off once the battlegrounds have been, because I had friends who actually stumbled across that and started watching it. And then, I don't know, battlegrounds, it would have been brilliant to carry on something like that with all the momentum there. And definitely to get baseball, some sort of magazine show on a Facebook Live or Periscope, or even some highlights on terrestrial telly would be a massive step in the right direction for sure. Because at the moment you need either MLB TV or BT, which again is a pay-per-view sort of thing. So it's not out in the mainstream, is it?
No, I think you're quite right. Darius, do you have anything to add to that? I think we've gone around the houses on this question a few times, haven't we? I think all of our ideas, well, is pretty dry by now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say, I guess, talking to people on Sunday and having had this conversation, obviously, quite a few times before, one thing a lot of people say is that it sort of happened to them by accident, that they were up late watching Channel 5, or that they were on a holiday to the US and they just thought, oh, yeah, I'll pop along to the ballpark because there's a game on while I'm here. And so I do think if you can get that regular TV spot on a wider network than BT, then maybe you've got that opportunity that people aren't getting so much right now. And maybe that's what the idea behind some of these Facebook games is as well, that people will sort of stumble across it that way without having to be on something like BT. I know that broadcast was widely panned yesterday for some of the stream layout. Yeah. And like that. Maybe the execution wasn't great, but perhaps the idea is that people will come across it who wouldn't otherwise necessarily have done so. But it's a difficult thing. And I think the internet is changing so fast that maybe the people who came across it, on Channel 5 all those years ago, that's not really a relevant paradigm to apply to the situation now. Maybe we need to be thinking a bit differently about that. But I certainly think it can't hurt to have even just a highlights package or something that people can turn on and go, oh, this baseball lark looks all right. Maybe I'll look into it a bit further.
Yeah, those are good thoughts. If anything good came out of yesterday's Facebook broadcast, it was a fantastic blog by SB Nation's Grant Brisby, in which he embedded many, many comments referring to himself appearing on television in the San Francisco area, which appear on Facebook. Mostly people slagging him off and saying, this is what it's like watching baseball on Facebook. I urge you to go in there, check that out. We'll retweet it as well. A question from Paul Holland. Any thoughts about the low attendances at some games this week, particularly in Oakland and Miami? Now, Paul's a Rays fan, and I noticed he didn't say Tampa Bay, so I'm going to add that in, Paul. Really poor crowds for week one in Oakland and Miami and Tampa. My initial reaction to that is all of these teams are absolutely awful. But does anyone have anything more sensible to add to that, Dave, maybe?
Well, the kids aren't off yet either, are they? The crowds generally do struggle in day games, in these early games, especially with the weather. It's been horrendous, isn't it? Mm. But I think the main factor is, those teams aren't the best to watch, are they? To put it nicely.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays have struggled, haven't they, with their attendances?
Yeah, that's been quite right. That's been a surprise, actually. Fickle. They're fickle up north of that border, aren't they? Not the Blue Jays in this country. They're out in force absolutely everywhere, making more noise than you really want them to. But, such is life. So this is a rather bizarre question from Adam Perry. I think this is maybe a question for you, Dave, because you've now met all of us. So which of the Batflips and Nerds crew would you say would be the most disappointing to meet in the flesh? I'm going to put you on the spot, Dave, as a you know the answer to this question.
It'd be Tom, wouldn't it?
Yep, correct. That is absolutely correct. That is the right answer. You can come back. And the final question is from somebody called Pedroia's Face.
Who?
Who purports to be a Red Sox fan, and yet, of course, his question is about the San Diego Padres. Have you seen how good Freddie Galvis
is? Yeah, I said Galvis would be a good acquisition for him. Defensive,
there you go.
Defensively, he's a Gold Glove player.
But really, Dave, all you're doing is humouring an idiot in saying that, and nobody wants to do that. Darius, have you seen how good Freddie Galvis has been? The answer is no.
No, I have not. I leave it to Tom to tell us all our Padres news. And I also know that Freddie Galvis is there to just warm that position between second and third base until Fernando Tatis Jr. and Luis Urias turn up in the majors. So as much as Tom likes to get excited about marginal players, I think we can probably all not worry too much about Freddie Galvis.
Yeah, certainly not in the long term. But anyway, it's been Freddie Galvis has been a really useful stick with which to be our near dear friend who is currently miles and miles in the air somewhere doing great work, keeping us all safe around this country. So we should stop slagging him off. On which, that seems like a good note on which to wrap it up. Thank you very much, guys. We'll end with the usual formalities. Dave, we'll give you the honours of going first. Where can people find you online? Where can people find out about the next meetup? And do you have anything that you want to plug in the meantime? I guess Sunday's event is something that you might want to tell people about.
Yeah, Sunday, if you're in the London area, we've got our inaugural UK Phillies meetup at the new Passyunk restaurant, which is owned by the Philly owner. He's come over from Philadelphia. Open up a new Philly-themed restaurant. Come get some genuine cheesesteaks and some hoagies. Come watch the Phillies Marlins, Arrieta's debut. And it should be a good evening. I'm looking forward to it. Find me at UK Phillies or at Davis143. And, of course, find us at Baseball by Committee for all the latest news on all the events, including Aberdeen and Birmingham this weekend and yourselves at Manchester. And end of the bank holiday, May will be the next London event. And we're hoping to get one started in the Southwest. We've been blown away by the requests as well of people wanting to start events around the country, which has been fantastic. We're trying to do all we can to get these events set up. The Southwest has had a lot of demand. So Bristol, Bath, Exeter, that sort of region, we're looking to set up the next new event anyway. So it is coming. So I am getting your messages, guys.
Excellent. So watch this space if you're a baseball fan down in the Southwest. And I know there are lots of you. That's the
there are a lot of them.
That's the place that the transatlantic twang of Liam Carroll gained a Southwest berth, I guess. Great hotbed of baseball in the UK. Darius, where on earth do we find you? And what on earth have we got coming down the pike from you this week? I assume it's going to be something esoteric.
Yes, so you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. If you are a baseball fan in North Wales, hit me up. This never happens, so I assume that there aren't any. Obviously, they're all down in the south and the southwest of the UK. But yeah, do let me know and I can organise like a two-person meetup or something. You can obviously find my fantasy writing over at Baseball Prospectus. I'm doing something a little bit different during the season this year, a big waiver wire analysis project, which is not really something that I think has been done before as far as I know. So it's a bit difficult to explain on here. Go over to BP and check out my column from this Wednesday if you want to see what that's all about. We've also got all our season previews now up at Badge to the Pen, as well as the prediction review. So if you're kind of still catching up a bit and you want to brush up on some teams, then that's a great place to go. And if you just can't get enough of my voice, you can also find me occasionally on Friends with Fantasy Benefits, doing a fantasy podcast over there.
Brilliant. And you can find me on the internet, where you can find my writing about Taiwanese baseball and the Baltimore Orioles. That'll be regularly fired into your eyes, whether you like it or not. Had over 20 people liking our Facebook group from Taiwan this week. So I really hope that they like crap writing about the Baltimore Orioles as well as my CPBL. So, find me over there, and find me on Manchester on Sunday in Manchester at the Brotherhood of Pursuit and Pastimes for our event with Andy from Gridiron and Gravy, which Darius is going to be along to as well. And that should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to meeting some of you there. And until next time, have a good week, and we'll be back with you again talking baseball very soon.